Our goal with Jatango was to anybody or any business could sign up within minutes, go live, start selling products, and not cost them a penny to do that. And that's what we've accomplished. That's where we strive. You could be up and running in minutes. And I think that can help a lot of people. It's helping a lot of people. It's changed lives. You know, I've seen people 3 years ago that started with us that were losing their business behind in rent. And today they do over $1 million a year with us, and they have just bought a 50,000 square foot warehouse, and their lives have changed because of live selling in the last couple of years. You know, so it is a cool industry and it's evolving, and people get in now, I think, are going to be a part of it, early adapters, and they're going to really do well with it.
Let's discover what people are building in the greater Cleveland community. We are telling the stories of Northeast Ohio's entrepreneurs, builders, and those supporting them. Welcome to the Lay of the Land podcast, where we are exploring what people are building in Cleveland and throughout Northeast Ohio. I am your host, Jeffrey Stern, and today I had the real pleasure of speaking with Phil Londrico, the founder and CEO of Jatango, an interactive broadcasting and e-commerce platform that gives individuals the power to host their own live shopping channel from anywhere. For many years now, we have seen e-commerce grow, sparking an entire industry of new brands, new channels, and new technology stacks. Today, everything from a legacy department store to your local grocery store to a faraway fashion boutique is online and at your fingertips. But the actual experience of shopping has not changed very much at all. We still generally begin browsing with a specific item in mind, and it all feels pretty transactional. Traditional e-commerce platforms often fail to deliver that joy of discovery you feel when shopping in person. This is what makes live stream shopping, which has already gone mainstream in China, fueling over $150 billion in gross merchandise value, so fascinating. With that in mind, Jatango, based here in Cleveland, is bringing that intimacy and connection to buying through their own immersive live shopping experience, taking the best of the analog television shopping by now experiences and putting it into the hands of DIY sellers. Phil has long been a visionary, growing up in his family business as one of the largest growers of Christmas trees in the United States, responsible for many millions in annual revenue, securing major national chains including Walmart, Central Hardware, Tractor Supply, Handy Andy, and many more. As head of IT development, he created, produced, and patented a mechanical product, which was extensively sold in national chain stores including Walmart, Kmart, and AAA Travel Agency. In 2006, Phil was one of the first to envision streaming entertainment overall, co-founding RockMeTV, of the first internet television networks. This conversation was a ton of fun. Phil is full of energy and passion for bringing people together through commerce and breaking down the barriers between buyers and sellers. We cover what it's been like building on the frontier of technology, the importance of timing, lessons learned from his family business, the future of commerce, and a whole lot more. So please enjoy my conversation with Phil Londrico after a brief message from our sponsor. Lay of the Land is brought to you by Jumpstart, providing services and resources to fuel the growth of technology startups across Ohio. Jumpstart's experienced advisors offer personalized business services to help you overcome challenges and prepare to raise capital. With one-on-one advising, workshops, and accelerator programs, Jumpstart has helped thousands of entrepreneurs, many of whom we have heard from here on Lay of the Land, transition from early stage growth to venture readiness. Additionally, founders can tap into a network of resources in marketing, in software development, in finance, and in talent recruitment, all to drive their companies forward. To learn more about Jumpstart, please go to jumpstartinc.org/startups to get started today. Phil?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
My pleasure, Jeff. My pleasure.
So we've been riffing a bit off the mic already, and I think I'm very excited for where this conversation will go. I was thinking about where the best place to start it might be, and I think it's always helpful to kind of go back to the beginning in some ways. And so when you think about your career and all that has transpired before it, when you know you were younger, what would you say are the kind of first inflection points that oriented you down this entrepreneurial path?
My father, he was an entrepreneur. He was a self-made man, businessman. I started on the streets when I was a little boy. I used to sell on the street corners with them, flowers, and you know, my father was a hustler, and you know, not in a bad way. Just it's what he did to survive, to make money. Was, you know, we went to the street, he'd buy flowers at a greenhouse, and we'd go on the street corner and sell them for Mother's Day. You know, and that's how we survived. And he built up a big business. He, you know, from there became a builder in properties and buildings. And but the beginning days taught me a lot. It taught me a lot of how to survive and how to a work ethic that's needed. My father used to get up at 3 a.m. We'd be at the terminals at 4 o'clock, trying to make the best deals so we could be out selling by 8 o'clock. Mm. I got to give a lot of props to Dad as far as the business part, entrepreneurship.
Did you always feel that was going to be your path as well?
Yeah, I think as a young man growing up, you know, it's what you do. It's what you know. And when that's what you know, yeah, I guess you just assume that's what you're going to go into, you know? So I think definitely.
Right.
So Dad was a big influence on business entrepreneurship. And my mom was a bigger influence on, she was very analytical when it came to business and always about doing the right thing. And if somebody wasn't doing the right thing, my mom, you know, you got to do the right thing. And she would fight tooth and nail to make sure that people are doing the right thing and doing it honestly. And so my mom kind of instilled that ethic in us.
Mm. And ultimately, how is it growing and being around the family business, as I understand it, you know, one of the largest growers and suppliers of Christmas trees,
yeah,
you know, around the country. What kind of influence did that have on your thinking and kind of lessons you've learned from, you know, observing that whole business?
You know, it started out small. It wasn't always big as it is. It started out with, you know, selling on the street corner. We had a little tree lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just all starts there. And, you know, we wanted to expand. And my family, we also sold pumpkins. So we were in the seasonal businesses. So we did the flowers, the Christmas trees. Every season, there was something for us to sell. And so I remember we wanted to get into pumpkins. We had a connection with pumpkins. We're a chain store, and the chain stores, and we said, hey, the chain store wanted pumpkins from us. And we said, hey, no problem. We'll supply you with pumpkins, but we'd like to supply you guys with Christmas trees. And they said, no, we already have a supplier. You know, we already have one of the cousins of the owner of the store is already supplying. So, you know, you'll never get that account. And so yeah, we said, okay. So we kept pursuing it, and luck would have it that very same Christmas, the supplier did not come through and not deliver to like 35 stores in Cleveland. And so they called us, and by luck, we said, all right, so we hustled to come up with Christmas trees for 35 stores. And we did. And that kind of snowballed us to getting into chain stores with Christmas trees. And so we just kept pursuing it, but it started out small, just like driving down the street and you see a little Christmas tree lot. That was us.
Wow.
That was us. Everything starts.
That's amazing. It's ready to seize that opportunity.
Yeah. And then it's grown very well over the, you know, last, you know, my father been in it for over 50 years. My grandfather was in the business. So a long time in that part of the industry. And that led us into technology because we got into chain stores. That's where my passion of computers came in. I wanted to computerize. My father was old school. Everything was written down on a notebook. And
yeah.
My father had little sticky tabs all over his car. So when you got in his car, there was 45 yellow stickers all over his car. That was my dad's car, reminding him of all the things that he had to do. And so I used to, I was the one like, Dad, come on, we'll get a computer and we'll computerize this and we'll make automated invoices. And slowly, after convincing him to spend a little bit of the money, he finally agreed, and we slowly got into, you know, technology end of computerizing his business and making us a little bit more mainstream. And so that kind of got me driving into the technology world where I'm at today.
Because I was going to ask if there was a certain theme that ties together the kinds of organizations that you've built and are building, you know, from Rock Me TV and Jatango, which we'll, you know, talk about it seems it may have deviated a bit from, you know, the seasonal offerings.
Yeah. I think it all stems from that.
Hmm.
It all stems from, you know, from one plant, if you will, you know, it comes up and it just grows from there. And, you know, business has evolved. When you launch something, it evolves. And I kind of, and as long as you're willing to adapt and change with the industry as it's evolving, your business is evolving, I think that's when you'll always continue to excel and grow.
Hmm. Ultimately grounded, though, in some, you know, unifying vision, you know, for the future, though.
Absolutely.
So if I had to put it out there from afar, it seems like this vision you have for the future of what the buying experience should be, you know, something live, something real time, something intimate, something with connection. I'd love to understand how you came to be so interested in this buyer experience as kind of a unifying theme for the work that you've done across multiple companies. And, you know, what kind of inspired that, and how would you lay out what that vision is and how it's evolved over time?
Well, I mean, today I have Jatango, and Jatango is this platform that it's designed to give everybody the ability to start their own shopping channel. So just like QVC or the Home Shopping Network, a person who's got a business, a store, some of these stores are losing foot traffic, and they need a way to adapt to online. Live selling is going through the roof right now. People who go live and hold up a product sell 10 times more than the person that just takes a picture of the product and puts it on their website. So it's a very interactive, fast way of moving products. And that today, that company that I have and I love and I adore and I'm nurturing it to grow it stems from back in the day when I grew up, all stems from selling products. You know, we got into selling Christmas trees, we got into chain stores, and it was always negotiating with different chain stores. Buyer and the seller is always negotiating pricing. And so we would always be trying to go high. They'd always be trying to go low. And there was this dance of buyers and sellers around, you know, trying to get the price right. And that's where the name Jatango stems from. It stands for just a tango. In my mind, it was a dance between buyers and sellers. And so, but it all stems from the businesses we started, you know, like everything came from that. The ability to buy and sell. From a little boy, we bought flowers and sold them. And so I knew there was money in that. I did that for a living my whole life. I knew if I bought something for a dollar and I could sell it for three the same day, I'm making money. And so as I grew up, I remember thinking, all right, my goal today is I got to make $50. So when I was a little boy, barely able to even have my driver's license, my temps, I remember going to the food terminal on my own. I would buy potatoes as an example. 10-pound bags of potatoes. And I'd buy them for 50 cents. I'd buy a pallet. And I'd go around to all the local stores and sell them for $1.50, you know, and be just 10 cents under the competition. But I'd make money. I'd sell it. My goal was to make 50 or 100 bucks that day. And that's what I would do. So it was always around buying and selling. And everything I ever did with buying and selling worked. So this kind of is just an extension or an evolution of that. And instead of me doing all the buying and selling, I'm offering it to show other people how to do it now and how they could do it right from their living room and right from their business, right from their store. And it doesn't matter if you're a small store or a boutique or an individual, or if you're a giant department store and you have thousands of stores, this works for everybody. And that's why it just makes sense. You know, it's just a growing industry and we see it growing. So that's where it came from.
As we make our way to Jatango, I'd love if you could tell us a bit, take us on a detour and explain the Rock Me TV, you know, chapter of the journey.
Sure. Back in 2007, I think, I went to New York City, not far from where you're at, and went out there with my sister. She was involved in music. Now, she was pursuing a music career, great singer. She's opened up for NSYNC, Wild Orchid, Fergie, Black Eyed Peas. Her name was Nicole Marie. And but she, back then she went by this name Coley. Everybody called her Coley. She ended up doing a lot of performances, and I was into technology. So I said, wait a minute, why can't we record all this stuff? And we'll make something like an MTV, but we'll do it online. You know, so we started creating which was called Rock Me TV at the time. And we had a platform and we thought if we just get a lot of viewers, we can make money with sponsors and advertisers. That was my mindset. You know, get all the viewers, we'll make money with sponsors and advertisers, and we'll build this great platform. And so we launch it and we have this technology where you can go live. We do live shows, live interviews, live performances. We had celebrity interviews and we were killing it as far as viewership. 50 states, 180 countries. 50 million views. And this is back in 2006, 7, 8, 9. And where we struggled was because it was the internet, it was still new. And it was that transition period between advertising in a magazine or putting your dollars on the internet. Nobody wanted to put money. So we struggled to get a sponsorship and advertisers. Wow. And so even though we got very little, it cost us $10,000 a month to pay the streaming bill. You know, today streaming is free on Facebook. Back then it was $10,000 a month. So it was a different animal. And so we built this platform, got all the viewers, tons of celebrities that you could imagine. And we just couldn't make money with it until one day with Rock Me TV, one of our hosts said, "Hey, can we go live?" And we owned a bar in New York City. So she goes, "Can we drag a couch out on the sidewalk?" I go, "Yeah," because we always did it because it made it exciting. People were walking by.
Yeah.
Big camera out there. And so we had three beautiful girls sitting on a couch. We had a big camera tripod hooked up and they're doing this talk. And all of a sudden, you know, guys and people started logging in from all over the country. And this is 2009 or 2010, maybe. And we were struggling for 4 years to pay the bills. And all of a sudden, the girl goes live jokingly. A guy says, "Hey, where are you?" And they're like, "Oh, we're in front of the bar that the owner owns." They're like, "Hey, can we buy you a drink?" And so they come up to me and they said, "Phil, some guy in, you know, Utah or something wants to buy these girls a drink," or Alabama, wherever he was. I say, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, he's on the phone." So I got on the phone and I told the guys, "You know, it's New York City. It's like $17 a drink." He goes, "Yeah, get them all two drinks and put it on my credit card." So I said, "All right." So I swiped the credit card. I run the numbers manually and I probably broke a million laws. And selling the alcohol over the phone. But it was a moment that intrigued me. And then the girls jokingly, one girl had a scarf or something on and she goes, "I'm going to sell it for $20. Somebody wanted to buy it. So we were selling things online, taking credit cards over the phone. And we did almost $800 in sales in 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I go, "Here I am struggling to get sponsors and advertisers. And I just picked up $800. That just changed. That was the pivotal moment that changed everything. And that day I bought the name Live Shopping TV. And I still own that name. I never used it. And but that was the pivotal moment that says, "I'm going to start a business, another live business that's kind of like QVC or Home Shopping, but where everybody can sell. And we're going to build something great like that." And that was the moment. That was the moment that launched or that got me into where we're at today.
Wow. I mean, it really is incredible. 2006, like how early you were to this idea, right? Like in retrospect, it's like obvious, but I don't know if it felt that way at the time.
You know, it's so funny. Every time I start a business, I feel like I'm late. Even then, I felt like, oh my God, everybody is already doing this. Because no matter when you search an idea, even when I searched live shopping back then, there was 10 companies starting it. Nobody ever caught on. Nobody ever did anything. But I think it's all about timing. You know, it's about the atmosphere, the world you're in, and plus how you're doing it. Everything makes, it's all about timing, I think. And even then, I you know, 2009 or 10 that we actually did the sales live. It was at that moment I said, okay, because we ended up shutting down Rock Me TV. We ended up not making any money with it. It was just too hard to build a business on sponsors and advertisers. You can't build a business on that type of a business model. The business model has to make money, and then sponsors and advertisers can be stuff you add on. That's icing on the cake, but that shouldn't be the business model, I learned.
Right.
And so I said, one day we're going to start this. I just got to think about the right way to do it and timing. And it wasn't until several years ago that my sister, Nicole, and my friend, Michael, my best friend, they kept pushing me. We got to do something. We got to start something. We got to do this again. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I'm happy where I'm doing. I'm happy. I didn't want to get back into the race of starting a company. And, but sure enough, you know, it got the best of me. I couldn't sleep at night. I was itching to do something too. And, so we end up, the first thing we did, we spent almost, I don't know, a year to maybe 14, 16 months building a business plan. And I mean, working on it every week. Every week we put hours and hours aside, because I knew from past experience, which I never believed when I was younger, but now I swear by it, a business plan done right will give you a great business model and a great way to launch a company. And so now I swear by them. Sometimes it takes a year to build a good business plan. And so we worked on it for over a year, and then we went from there and tried to start the journey that we're at today. So I started with that business plan.
I love the evolution of, you know, how it came to be something that you could pursue. But yeah, again, just kind of wild. Rock Me TV was really kind of one of the earliest renditions of streaming.
We had interviews.
It's wild.
Celebrities on there from, like I told you earlier, like Whoopi Goldberg, Susan Sarandon, Mary J. Blige, Nicki Minaj, three different interviews. They're still on YouTube. If you Google them, Rock Me TV and Nicki Minaj, you'll see the interviews. So they're still up with millions of views. And, a lot of celebrities you could think of were on our show. We were blessed having the celebrities come on the show, and we didn't have to pay anybody. It was a time where people wanted exposure back then, but making money with it was a whole different animal. That was where it got difficult.
Right. And it's all kind of in this evolution from kind of old school traditional celebrities coming to more like the influencer model that maybe didn't exist at that time exactly yet. But yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And when we built Chatango, we decided we wanted to build it where, we just got a small little percentage off the sale. So it didn't affect people. If they didn't sell anything, they didn't have to pay anything. But I wanted to help the people that were getting started in this. And I wanted to also have something that as advanced and as intricate as needed for big businesses to operate on a big scale. And something that they can do and do well with it. So some of the things.
So having worked through the business plan, ideating on it for a fair amount of time there, how do you actually get started? What is the beginning, the initial initiative look like?
Well, with the business plan, first thing I did was search for days trying to find all these different, there's a business plan templates and everybody's got, they're going to try and sell you for $300. You can fill out the details and it spits out a business plan. And I said, I got to approach this more traditional. So with me, we just found a good format that you could download for free. And it has all the outline of the business plan. And I took a couple that I saw online that were award-winning or that were good. And I said, all right, let me try to model it a little bit. But when you go through it, what I find interesting with the business plan, and this is for every entrepreneur listening, this is a real important one. If you go through a business plan properly and answer every single question about the product, about the marketing, how are you going to get it out there? And you start diving into those questions. And to dive into them, you can't just be generic in the answer. You really got to answer it in detail. And when you start diving into it, you start discovering the answer. Even though you thought you knew the answer, you end up really discovering the real answer. And you're like, damn, that's how I got to do this. And before you know it, when you're done with this business plan, you are 1,000% more confident on how to launch this thing than you ever were in the beginning of it. So the business plan is such a crucial way of really building your business and the best way to start. I swear by them, and I never believed in them when I was younger. But as we became successful, now I know that is just I wouldn't start a business without a great business plan. And when people come to me and they bring me a business plan, instantly I know if it's generic. Instantly, I know if they put any time or effort into it. And when you know they did, it makes you as an investor or another entrepreneur look at them twice as hard. When you see the effort and they answered the questions right, you know they're going to be a good investment for you. You know they're going to watch things the way they did with that business plan. So the really interesting point of view, but I think hopefully somebody will get that one day.
Well, I'll ask then, in retrospect, from a place of having taken Django from this idea in your head and putting it down on paper in a business plan to an actual organization, how far has it deviated from where you thought it would be originally when you put it down on paper?
It's gone 100 miles. It's gone thousands of miles in distance as far as where it started from. And what's crazy is, as far as we've come, everything we've done with Django, no matter what level I'm at, I always see it always seems, the more you get into it, the further you feel you are away sometimes. And so it just keeps you moving. And that's kind of the blessing of being an entrepreneur and being in business is, you know, the more you get into it, the more you build it, the more you discover, the more it evolves, the more you need to build it. It's like a whole thing until you get to the point where you think, all right, it's good enough where I want to sell it now. Or, you know, you get to that point. And we're getting to that point, you know, where it's, we know the direction we want to go. And we're excited. I think the direction we're going is very, very exciting. Not just for us as a company, but for the world. You know, the world's moving in a direction of going live. And today it's in the infancy stage in the United States. But if you look at China or Alibaba, they've been doing it 7 years ahead of us. It's the fastest growing sector in all of e-commerce in China, surpassing, I don't know, depending on what article you read or what news network, somewhere in the $700 billion range in revenue per year and growing beyond that. It's just it's in Japan, all these other countries have adapted it earlier than US, but it's coming. And you're going to see a time where people are just selling everywhere. In China, you can walk into a department store and there's 35 people selling live with ring lights.
Wow.
Yeah. So depending on where you're at. So the world, it's coming to it. We're still in the early days.
What does Django look like today? How has it kind of evolved? Take us through the evolution of the business.
Well, we started out with our business plan. First thing we knew was we needed a lot of money for research and development because at the time in 2017, 18, nobody had a platform for live selling. So there wasn't one out there. It did not exist. So I said, okay, so we have to figure out what it is we need. So we built our business plan and we figured we needed to raise money and we need to have investors involved that kind of are going to be patient with us understanding and learning the industry. And so, because this isn't a one-year hit, a hit and run type investment. This is a long-term investment that's going to have, we need people that's going to be able to carry this with us and work with us. So we looked for the investments for people that wanted to invest in us that believed in the long-term vision, of where we can go with this as a business and where the industry is going. And so we did that. We started to raise some money. And then we only raised a little bit every year, just enough to cover a couple of developers. But we weren't looking to, do anything other than try to get some MVP, a minimal viable product that we can use. And so in 2020, we launched our first version. And throughout that year, I think we did $10,000 in sales. And then 2022, I think we launched another version. And we did that year like $110,000 in sales. And then we went and got a focus group of individuals. Now, this gets interesting. So everybody listening, get a focus group of people. Because now, 3 years into it, people started selling live. They weren't doing it before, but they started doing it as we were building the company. And so I'd go on Facebook and I would see people selling live. And so I started reaching out to these people. And I said, people that I thought were successful, doing really well. And I met this girl, Kim, and her husband, Mike, and they were in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they had 400 people in the room and they were selling purses and they were writing down the orders. And I'm watching them on the screen and like, all right, Kathy wants the black purse with the M emblem. And they're writing this down. Well, I end up calling them. I said, I got to meet this girl. So I end up meeting them. They end up doing like 20,000 in sales, writing down the orders manually, her husband and her daughter, in Los Angeles at somebody else's store selling products. And I just thought that was fascinating. And so I said, so I got a focus group. So everybody listening, get a focus group of people that do this. And we started asking, what are the pain points? What are you up against? What do you need? And, Kim would be like, well, listen, we need a way to check out easy. We need a buy button on the screen. All these little, all the things we thought we needed. And so when we launched our latest version in 2023, just last year, you know, the year before we did, I think like 110,000 in sales. And then last year, our first month, we hit almost $100,000. And every month after that was hitting $100,000. I mean, with three people selling. So not having hundreds, not having thousands of people, just with a few people, a handful of sellers, we hit it. So numbers don't lie. You know instantly when you got it right, because the numbers don't lie. And so we knew with fixing all the pain points that we finally got it right. And it was at that point, it was, okay, now we got the final version. Now we need to get, we sat back down with the focus group, said, all right, we got, it's still working. A few more kinks. What else do we need? We made a whole list of 40 different things that need to be completed. And we're going to spend the next 12 months completing them, and we're going to launch. And that was about 6 months ago. In another few months, we'll be ready to launch to the world. But people are still using it today. It still does great. It's incredible, actually. It's growing. And but the world doesn't even know about it yet. So we're actually launching to the world here real soon. And we just have a small base of about 5,000 people now using it. And but it's grown tremendously, tremendously. And so, I mean, you could see the month over month sales, and numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie.
Mm. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So it's interesting, and you know, you got to get it right. You got to work at it and get it right. And so that's where we're at today with it. We're ready to launch it to the world real soon. We got some incredible features and things that we added that the world's going to go nuts on when they see it. In beta, all the people that are using it are going nuts over it. So we have a lot of great things. We're really excited to show the world.
So to the degree that you can, you know, help us understand what this experience might actually look and feel like, you know, with this idea of live shopping, the seller experience, the buyer and customer experience, and what is ultimately Jatango's role in facilitating all of it.
Yeah, currently the way it works is we work within people's own social media. So if you have a Facebook page or your Instagram or wherever you're at socially, and you want to go live and sell products, you need a buy button, if you will, so people can buy that product. So if you're on Facebook and you have a page, now even though there's Instagram, which is big and popular, and there's TikTok, it's still the number one way, if you Google it, in revenue returns and people selling live, getting the highest returns, is still Facebook. So Facebook is the highest by like 50 some percent. That if you want to sell live, it's a great place to start. That's where all the buyers are at. That's where shoppers are at. That's where sellers are going for some reason still. So, but if you go there's no easy way of selling. So what we created was that simple platform of having a button on your screen. So, or a link right on your page. So if you go live on Facebook, you pin one of our links that has your products in it. When people click it, it splits the screen. So they're watching the video. On the bottom, the store opens up, and whatever product they scan or that they select, it pops up on top, and people can shop the product below it. And they're watching the show at the same time, and they're making purchases and buying the products. We just made it very easy for people to sell within their own social media. Now, in the near future, when we launch for June and July, Jatango itself is building its own full-blown website where you'll be able to go live on Jatango and Facebook or TikTok or Instagram simultaneously. So you'll be able to be on all the platforms at the same time selling, and that's coming real soon.
Wow. You mentioned, you know, the whole idea, especially in reflection of your time with Rock Me TV, the importance of timing. And so I'm curious, this next time around, how have you thought about why is now the right time for all of this to happen?
It's not even me that dictates it. It's the industry, I think, that dictates it, the environment. Look at businesses closing up. Malls are closing down. No more foot traffic. COVID hit. I mean, things that are, the world has changed, and people either adapt to it or the company is going to die. There's no... it's not even something I picked. It's something that just is happening. And so where are these people going to go? They're losing their foot traffic. You know, they still got the same bills, but they don't have the same income no more. They got to adapt. They got to move. And where they're seeing the biggest, fastest return is live selling. Give you an example. I was in Atlanta. I got a phone call from a friend that says that they have a business in Fort Lauderdale And they said that they're hurting. They're only doing $500 a day. They have a 15,000 square foot warehouse and showroom. And can we help them? And so the girl I was with was selling Kim. We decided to take a 9-hour ride further south. We went to Fort Lauderdale. We uploaded their products in our system. We put a few hundred items in that day. That night we went live. She did almost $4,000 in sales in a couple hours with them. They had a blast. They did more in sales that day than they do all week long. And so where else can you take a business and turn it around in the same day? Literally turn that business around and do 7 times the sales in the same day. That's like unheard of.
Right. That's powerful. It's undeniably.
I mean, you could take flyers and do advertisement and pass them around all day long and not get that same response as we got from going live in 2 hours.
So when you think about the path ahead and, you know, realizing, I think, this quite compelling vision for the future of commerce and the live experience of it, what worries you? You know, if it doesn't work out, you know, competition, just changing behavior of the status quo, what are the things that you think are hurdles to overcome in the journey ahead?
The way I look at this business or any business, the way to stay ahead of anybody, even the companies that have billions of dollars and unlimited resources, how do you beat them if we're a little company? And I learned that if you know your business better than anybody else and you could stay ahead of the trends, then you can beat anybody in it. And so I don't worry too much. I keep all my energy focused on how do I stay ahead? How do I know this better than my competition? And how do I do a better job? I'm all about the customer. How do we make it better for our sellers to sell? How do we make it easier for our buyers to buy? And how do we make this better for them? Customer service is number one. And so that's what we focus on. And I keep my focus in that area. You know, how do we just do better and be ahead of the trends? I think if you do that, you're going to do good in business, no matter what industry you're in.
Yeah. It segs, I think, into maybe a higher level question about, you know, what success ultimately means to you, you know, and when you think about the kind of impact that you'd like to have looking back in retrospect, you know, what is that and what's motivating you along the way?
We build something that helps people do better and become better people and connect people, and we can help the world in a positive way. That to me is success. And I think, you know, that's what we strive for, trying to help everybody we can in a positive way. There's too much negative in this world as it is. And so I want to try to do what we can in positivity here.
How do you think about the encompassing, you know, parties to Jatango, which I would classify as the social media companies, but, you know, as TikTok, Instagram, whatever comes next, and there will certainly be something else, you know. What is, let me think of a different way to frame this question. Because what I would like to get at is, you know, in this transition from, you know, kind of the mall experience, like you were mentioning, to the role that social media companies play in the whole commerce ecosystem, is there like a platform threat, you know, almost? Like, how do you think about Jatango as a standalone entity, you know, where people might come to Jatango to do that versus partnering compatibility with the social media companies?
Well, I think one, social media companies are great. You know, they brought the world together in a lot of great ways. And they're always going to be there, I think, in some form or another. Like you said, whatever the next thing may be. How does that help or hurt Jatango? You know, like I said, people that go on Instagram are usually not people going on Instagram to sell products. See, social media, I believe, was built originally as social media. It's a social platform. Connect with your friends, your family, hang out, show things, cool things. And now they're trying to convert over to live selling. And so we are the opposite. We are started in live selling, building into social media, creating a social platform around live selling, utilizing all the pain points, all the things we built. I'm in my studio here now in Cleveland. We actually built a full-blown warehouse selling studio so that we can learn every single pain point. We sell over 6,000 orders have gone out last year. We're selling nonstop ourselves to learn every single pain point. How do you label products? How do you get boxes? What do you do for shipping? We had to learn every single thing. So we became the best at it. We mastered it. I don't want nobody to know it better than me. So I'm going to make sure we're going to deliver a product that nobody's ever seen, and that it's going to really help them. And we make it our point to know this business better than anybody. I mean, we just nonstop, we're selling on a daily basis. You know, so we're a selling platform that we also embrace the social media part of the world, because that is part of it. But we started as a selling platform. And I think that gives us a little advantage as well, because we're coming from a different perspective.
Mm. What are you most excited about looking forward?
You know, I'm excited because I see the world changing so fast. Yeah. All of us see it changing. Look at the last few years of our lives. I mean, but I think if we can see it change in a positive way, like I'm looking at everybody from the single mother that wants to make money from her house because she has three kids at home, and how can she do it? And I got people now using Jatango. One girl's got she sells out of her closet. It's called a Gently Loved Clothing or something like that. And she sells all these beautiful clothes that she only wore once, and she makes a living and she supports her kids. And I think to myself, that is such a great blessing for them. But then I'm working with chain stores and department stores in Atlanta that, you know, they went from 2 stores to 9 stores now using our live selling platforms. And we have an affiliate program built in now. And so I'm excited for the industry that I do see it's changing. And I do see that it could be a positive change if done right.
Hmm. What have you felt have been the hardest earned lessons along the way? And I'd be curious, both from the perspective of, you know, lessons you took with you from your prior entrepreneurial journeys, you know, in retrospect, looking back on Rock Me TV and even the family business, and how you've applied those to Jatango, and then, you know, the new lessons that you've learned in this more recent chapter.
You know, the greatest lesson I've learned too, one of them is, you know, if you're going to start a business, make sure it's something you're committed to for the next 10 years of your life minimum, or don't start the business. So start the business if you're going to be committed, because there's going to be ups and downs in any new business. And a lot of people quit when they're down. And so I learned not to quit until you're done, until you sold the business or wherever your level needs to be. You only lose if you quit, you know, so don't quit. So start something you're going to stay with. And even when it's low and it's slow and people are like, you know, this ain't going to work, you know, if you believe in it, stay with it. And so persistence is huge for me. Persistence and stay committed. And then I think success will follow.
And what of the lessons from Jatango do you feel you've learned that you didn't know going into it?
I learn every day from Jatango. You know, I'm learning. There's so many different things with this business, because you're dealing in a world of, you know, I'm not opening up a store and selling to the 20 people that come by today. I'm opening up a business that opens the doors to millions of people. It's just a different animal. And Jatango's constantly teaching me all the time. It's just a different animal. So I'm always learning to be positive. Got to be positive. And that's it. Be positive and move forward.
Yeah.
Enjoy what you do. I enjoy what I do. So I love it. So as long as you can enjoy what you do. And every day there's little lessons you learn every single day in business. And that goes with any business. I don't know if it's just Jatango, but every day you learn, you adapt, it evolves, you keep adapting, you move. But those are the things I love. And as an entrepreneur, most people love the constant change, because entrepreneurs don't like the same thing every day.
Right, right.
Like the
excitement. It's the ups and the downs,
yeah, exactly.
The very high ups, the very low downs.
Yeah.
Not that it's ever easy, but you got to enjoy the process. It always comes back to that. Yeah. That and people.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I always like to leave a little space at the end for important parts of your journey personally, professionally, that we haven't talked about, that you think are important to relay?
Important aspects of our business to relay. I mean, I think we covered a lot of ground. I mean, we're a live selling platform that can help anybody in business today or anybody that wants to start a business. You know, and you, what's cool about Jatango is you can start the business with no money. You can start with the products you have. So if you want to get started, you could go to Jatango. Yeah, there's a number to call when you log in right now because we're in beta. But as we launch out of beta here, you'll sign up within minutes. And that's it. You get connected. And within a few minutes, you can actually upload your first product. Within 5 minutes, you can be live and selling your first product. It's that simple. You know, we built our whole thing to be simple, easy to operate. I want to say easy for a 10-year-old, but that's the wrong statement today because 10-year-olds are better on technology than the 70-year-olds.
It's true.
So we made it for everybody, super easy to use. Our goal with Jatango was to anybody or any business could sign up within minutes, go live, start selling products, and not cost them a penny to do that. And that's what we've accomplished. That's where we strive. You could be up and running in minutes. And I think that can help a lot of people. It's helping a lot of people. It's changed lives. You know, I've seen people 3 years ago that started with us that were losing their business behind in rent. And today they do over $1 million a year with us. And they have just bought a 50,000 square foot warehouse. And their lives have changed because of live selling in the last couple of years. You know, so it is a cool industry and it's evolving and people get in now, I think are going to be a part of it, early adapters, and they're going to really do well with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd love to layer on the Cleveland component to all of this and, yep. You know, just what it's meant to you to build and do this from Cleveland.
It's as really we, cool. You know, Cleveland is important because I got to meet, you know, just even like watching your show. You know, you did Andrew's spot, who did Vivifront when you interviewed him. And Vivifront is a marketing company that we work with. And we met them through Jumpstart and our friend Chris Smith over at Jumpstart. And so the relationships in Cleveland are so far reaching. And they everybody, and the more I learn about Cleveland and the entrepreneurs here, the more amazed and blown away I am of who's in this town. And some of them are a mile away and I never knew it. And doing incredible things that are changing the planet. So Cleveland's a great, great place. I'm so blessed to have started in Cleveland, be based out of Cleveland. And the people that have jumped in to help us, give us exposure and to shout them out from Jumpstart to Vivifront and companies like yourself. Come on, Jeff, you guys are doing, look what you're doing for all the entrepreneurs in this city. And how you're connecting us too. Like I look at some of the people you're interviewing. I'm like, before the show, and people didn't hear this, but I'm like, yeah, I got to meet so-and-so. I want to meet some of these people you're interviewing. And because it does, relationships are everything. And it's so important when you're growing a business. So, and Cleveland's a great hub for that.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with that, I will ask you our traditional closing question,
okay,
which is also about Cleveland, but potentially unrelated to anything we talked about, which is for your favorite hidden gem in the area, something that other folks should know about that maybe they don't.
Favorite hidden gem in Cleveland. Hidden gem. You know, I'm Italian, so I'm thinking of food.
That's a perfect place to go.
And, you know, I think of Jay Bella's in Strongsville. Great people, great owners over there, Joe. And I think of Mike from Triv's over in Strongsville. Great place, great atmosphere. I don't know if you've ever been there, but great, great place. Check them out. But a couple little gems that I like to frequent our visits. That are good people, good owners, and run good businesses.
Mm. Amazing.
Yeah. Great.
Well, Phil, I just want to thank you again. This was a lot of fun, but for coming on and just sharing your story and more about the work you're doing.
Jeff, I am so honored to be a part of what you're doing. Blessed to be here, and I appreciate you taking the time to have me. Thank you so much.
For sure. If folks had anything that they wanted to follow up with you about, or, you know, use Jatango, whatever it may be, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, definitely. Send an email. If anybody's interested, they could send it to admin at Jatango. That's J-A and the word Tango, T-A-N-G-O. You can never forget.
Perfect.
Yeah, J-A and the word Tango. So admin at Jatango.com. hit us up. I get a copy of every one of the emails that go to that. So I will follow those, and we'd be happy to answer any questions or help anybody or connect dots, whatever needs to be done.
Great. Well, thank you again, Phil.
Jeffrey, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward, and I'm sure we'll be in touch really soon.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, and call me when you get to Cleveland.
I will.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
That's all for this week. Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show. So if you have any feedback, please send over an email to jeffrey@layoftheland.fm or find us on Twitter @podlayoftheland or @sternjefe, J-E-F-E. If you or someone you know would make a good guest for our show, please reach out as well and let us know. And if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or on your preferred podcast player. Your support goes a long way to help us spread the word and continue to bring the Cleveland founders and builders we love having on the show. We'll be back here next week at the same time to map more of the land. The Lay of the Land podcast was developed in collaboration with the Up Company LLC. At the time of this recording, unless otherwise indicated, we do not own equity or other financial interests in the company which appear on this show. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of any entity which employs us. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.